First thing I'd like to do is acknowledge my co-authors in this study, Dr. Francisco Arriaga, Kip Balcom, Wayne Reeves, and Eric Schwab, all with ARS there at Auburn, except for Wayne, who's now at Watkinsville, and also Joey Shaw, who's with the Agronomy and Soils Department at Auburn University. Soil compaction is one of the issues that we all have to deal with in the southeastern United States. It is sometimes referred to as the silent thief because it can reduce yields over an entire field, and you may not even know that you're having to deal with it. For example, if you look at this graph here, basically what you're seeing is somewhere between 4 and 8 inches down into the soil, you have this red zone of compaction that occurs that tends to prevent roots from properly growing down into the profile and being able to withstand any sort of summer drought. Over on the left here, you see this root. This is actually one that I dug up in North Alabama. Here's the soil surface, and before it gets 6 inches into the soil, it's already had to take about half a dozen 90-degree bends. We commonly try and combat this problem in the southeastern United States by looking at in-row subsoiling. There's lots of different pieces of equipment out there that can do a pretty good job of alleviating compaction, whether it be strip tillage, in-row tillage, non-inversion type tillage, but we kind of use the generic term of in-row subsoiling. One of the things we tend to see is that pretty much if you're in a conventional system or if you're in a no-till system, or you can actually benefit your yields by doing some form of deep tillage. Of course, we like to highly recommend that you consider a conservation tillage system where that you would tend to leave a lot of residue on the soil surface. You would do your in-row subsoiling and then plant directly into that. And then this is what we'd like to see as your plants come up. The depth of compaction can vary widely within a lot of our fields. I did a study a few years ago over near Oxford, Mississippi with Dr. Seth Dabney at the sedimentation laboratory, where we looked at three different fields in a watershed. Field one was a no-tillage field, that's this one right here, that had drilled soybeans with narrow row production. Pretty much we did not see any difference between the no traffic or the traffic middles or the in-row position, and we saw the hardpan depth being at about 14 inches into the soil. Field two, again, adjacent field, had conventional tillage, chisel disc twice to shallow depths for 36-inch soybean production. We tended to see everything get a lot closer to the soil surface. Particularly, you still see differences across the no-traffic middle, in-row position, and traffic. But again, everything gets closer to the soil surface when you're in a conventional tillage system. And then field three, another adjacent field, a no-tillage field. Again, you see the hardpan depth basically going back down to about that 14-inch position. So we know that compaction can vary widely in a field. We know that it varies based upon traffic. We know that it varies based upon cropping systems. We know that it varies widely based on natural variability. What we want to look at for this study is landscape position. How does that have an effect on soil compaction? Because unfortunately, a lot of our fields in the southeastern United States are not flat. We tend to have a lot of varying landscapes within them. So the objectives of the study were to determine the effects of landscape position on soil strength and soil moisture, and to determine the effects of the treatments that were superimposed on soil strength and soil moisture as well. The design was a large experiment. It's rather unique. It's a 24-acre experiment. It has 6 replications. It's laid out near the E.V. Smith Research Center in Shorter, Alabama. This is an overhead view of the site. It has 8 strips, transects, reps across the field, with intersecting management zones. We tend to have, well, we always have both phases of the rotation. We have a corn-cotton rotation that are present every year, and we also have with or without manure treatments. The two different systems we have is a no-till system that basically consists of a cotton followed by a winter legume, a corn that's also followed by a cover crop, and then a conventional system. Again, that's a corn-cotton rotation, but basically in the wintertime, we leave it fallow. We also looked at creating management zones. Our management zones, we used some fuzzy K logic to put these together. We used several different things. We not only used electrical conductivity, but we also used the Order 1 soil survey maps and also some terrain attributes. Now, these terrain attributes consist of elevation, slope, a lot of different factors. When we did this analysis, we tried to consider all the different factors, and we came up with 3 major landscape positions. The first is the summit, with certainly a higher elevation, a little lesser slope, the side slope position, and also the drainage way position. So these were the three major positions that are mostly terrain attribute driven. One of the things I want you to notice here, if you look at the sand, silt, and clay, this could be important later on in our discussion. Notice the increased sand content down here in the drainage way compared to the side slope and the summit. Pretty much what's happened is due to past erosion events, a lot of the larger particles, we believe, from the upper positions have basically eroded and have lodged down in the drainage way area. The measurements we took were consist mostly of a lot of soil strength measurements. We tend to take a lot of these when we go into a field. We have a device that basically can sample all the way across the row, five different positions. We also took a lot of bulk density measurements. We pull soil cores down to about 18 inches in depth and then sample those for bulk density and also soil moisture. So to just briefly review, we're looking at the experimental layout here. Four tillage treatments. We've got our conventional and our conservation tillage system, our no-till system, with and without manure. The one crop we sampled after the corn crop for this particular experiment, we have three management positions, summit, side slope, and drainage way. And then we have either three or five positions, depending upon whether or not we're doing bulk density or cone index. And then six replications. So our results, the first thing I want to do is just briefly talk about our crop yield to kind of give you a picture of what we're dealing with here. Pretty much what we found is over about a five-year period from 2001 to 2005, the no-till system basically gave us higher yields, whether it be corn or cotton, compared to anything up here with the conventional tillage system. And this was quite surprising because it gave us an immediate benefit. A lot of times we hear that you need to wait a few years in order to get a positive impact of having a conservation system, but that's not what we found. We found an immediate benefit. Also, if you look at the landscape zone positions, and you look at the data there, there are a few things that tend to jump out at you. When you look at the corn yield in a particularly dry year, the drainage way position tends to give you your largest yields. In a wet year, they tend to be more evenly distributed. You don't seem to see any sort of benefit associated with any landscape position. But certainly in the dry years, the drainage way areas tend to give you the best yields. Cotton yield tends to follow the same pattern. Again, 2004 was a somewhat dry year during the growing season, and the drainage way, again, gave us the best yields. Now, during the wetter part of in 2003, when, again, it was somewhat of a wet season, the drainage way actually gave us decreased yields for the cotton. We got our greatest yields back either on the summit or the side slope. So as we try and look at these yield trends, what we pretty much found is that the no-till system out-yielded the conventional system. There was no effect of manure, and this is over about a 5 or 6 year period that we've done the experiment now, in terms of yield, I guess. In the wet year, 2003, we pretty much found that the summit yields were equal to the side slope yields, which were slightly greater than the drainage way yields. And in a dry year, in a couple of dry years, 02 and 04, the drainage way out-yielded the summit, which out-yielded the side slope. So now we want to look at our soil measurements and see if it can help us kind of explain what happened here. If we look at the cone index measurements first, this is a probability analysis. As we go down into the soil, we analyzed every depth individually, and we looked at the different tillage treatments, the different management zones, the different positions across the rows, and then we looked at our interactions. I'm going to restrict the rest of the discussion we're going to have today to just talking about main effects, and the thing we tend to see more than anything else that jumps out at us at each and every depth, the row position is more important or is more significant than any other thing that we tend to see in the field. And that's not altogether surprising. If you tend to look at what happens in a field, certainly you're going to have the largest amount of compaction that's going to occur underneath where the tire runs. You know, this is year in and year out. As you get over underneath the in-row position and then in the non-trafficked areas, you're going to actually be below this 2 megapascal threshold that we sometimes talk about, which is kind of a route-limiting factor. So basically, in the traffic zones, the area that gets the tire traffic, that's the largest thing that's going to affect. This is something that when I talk to producers, I always tell them that, to be honest, you're going to have more compaction variability over about 3 feet there within your row than you're going to have over pretty much any field in the southeast. And this really, I think, just shows this. If you go and look at the cone index data, if you look at the management zones, again, you see a lot of results there that are highly significant at almost every depth. And when you look at that data, what you tend to find is that the drainage way, again, tends to have the largest cone index values. The side slope and the summit, basically, they're all somewhat equivalent down to about 4 inches, and then you tend to get some decreases in the side slope and summit areas. You see those areas basically dropping back off over here, while the drainage way remains somewhat constant. If you look at the treatments, you tend to get some significance up near the soil surface. And again, what we tend to find here is there's a little bit of an effect of manure, probably due to increased moisture. We'll talk about that in a few more minutes. But basically, the no-till systems tend to have reduced cone index values compared to the conventional tillage systems. I think this also speaks largely to when you look at trying to find treatment differences in a field, particularly in a large area. It's very difficult to find that sometimes when you don't consider row positions or you don't consider landscape positions. You've really got to pull those two factors out in order to see treatment effects. This is a little different way of looking at some of this data, where you basically take and pull in the various treatments. In the drainage way area, these are three-dimensional maps, like you've dug a pit and you're basically looking sideways under the soil. If you just consider, say, under conventional tillage up here, basically this is the soil surface up here. Under the traffic middle, this is where the red area basically gets the traffic. You can see the level of compaction starts very shallow, goes down 12, 14 inches into the soil. Over here is where the row is planted. We use strip tillage in all of these treatments, so we're pretty much disturbing this adequately enough that we can get a good yield. One of the things you tend to notice, though, is as you move from conventional tillage over to no tillage, and also as you move downward with manure, you tend to see less redness. So again, what you're seeing there is less compaction, less of an effect of compaction on your yields. Now, this is in the drainage way positions. The summit position, you see somewhat the same thing. And then the side slope, one of the points I want to make here is notice how shallow the compaction is. One of the things that I've been an advocate of for several years is that we might want to adjust our tillage depth if we had that capability as we go through our field. And I think these graphs kind of illustrate that. If you look back up at the drainage way position, it would be somewhat difficult. You'd have to have a fairly deep tillage depth in order to get through this pan and basically eliminate the compaction zone. However, if you look down here at the side slope position, your tillage depth would only have to be about 6 or 7 inches down in order to take care of any compaction issues that you might have there. I'm going to quickly go through the rest of this, all the rest of this, the bulk density measurements. Basically, we found the same thing with these measurements. The zone areas in the drainage way, we got elevated values of bulk density compared to side slope and summit. Positions, again, the largest effect of bulk density was underneath the traffic region where we got elevated values. And I'll skip through a lot of this. Treatment effects, again, very difficult to see. The soil moisture issues, position, not much difference in soil position. Zones, a little bit greater soil moisture in the side slope area. One of the things I really expected to see was increased moisture in the drainage way area, and we did not see that. Now, the drainage way is mostly composed of sand, but if you think about when we take our measurements, our soil measurements, we always try and do them immediately after a rain. So the water really hasn't had time to flow into the lower areas where it really might do more good for the drainage way later on. Okay. Also, from a treatment perspective, you do see a slight manure effect, particularly in the no-till system, but only at a very shallow depth. All right, our conclusions. Greatest differences in soil strength occurred across the row. Greatest differences in soil moisture occurred across landscape positions. No-tillage systems had to reduce soil strength compared to conventional systems, and manure had a positive effect on soil strength and soil moisture, but only near the soil surface. And then finally, in terms of the landscape position effects, which we were really after here, in the drainage way area, we've had the greatest soil strength, the highest sand content, the highest organic matter, and the greatest yields during dry years. And I think the most important thing that we learned here is it also had the lowest elevation. So therefore, it had more moisture present when the crop was actually needing it. So with that, that's all I've got.